Hey guys, welcome to another wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Allen. Joined with me is Wynn Brantley.
You can probably already tell Ryan's not here.
There's no Ryan. It's upsetting.
Yeah.
He quit. He's gone.
Yeah.
We lost him.
his contract ran up and he,
that's right.
We couldn't come up with a...
He's waiting for Adam Cole to come back so he can go to AEW.
No, Ryan's not here this week, which sucks because we're doing heels, and he watched the episode with us.
He did.
And enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because he's
never seen it, right? Nope. We've both watched it.
This is my third time watching it, because
I
rewatched it the other week, and I'm like, hey, we should review heels.
That's right, yeah.
And then we started watching it, so...
It was better than my No Holds Barred story arc, so...
Yeah, maybe one day...
Maybe one day we'll just never do it. Because I've mentioned it like three times since we've done a podcast. Hey... This idea and just never pans out very well, but Ryan's not here. We still have a joke to do. Okay, we're gonna go through the joke. Okay, we're gonna get through the episode itself. So let's just get right into it. Okay, I wonder if there's gonna be one that's fitting.
By the way, if your delivery is not good, it doesn't matter that Ryan's not here. I promise you that. You get no breaks.
Fair enough.
That was one for you, Ryan.
What do the Usos love to drink at lunch?
Apple ooze.
Ooze boxes.
Okay. Did I say apple ooze?
You said apple ooze.
I mean apple
juice. Like,
if you say apple juice fast, it might sound like apple.
But ooze boxes though.
Dude, if they don't make that and market that, they're idiots.
Honestly, look, Uso's juice. That's the picture. Uso's
Usy juice.
Usy juice.
They should pay us.
Oh man, they won't. Anyways, let's get right into it. We've done a movie before. We reviewed a movie.
Yep.
We reviewed storylines, but now we need to review both. And a lot of storylines is involved in this one, but I want to give you a little background on this. So apparently this, of course, premiered in 2021 after COVID. So premiered on August 15th of 2021, but it is originally developed in 2017. So they sold the rights to Fox. We're trying to get a writer and director put out, and it took till roughly about 2019 to have it all figured out. That includes casting with Stephen Amell from Arrow.
Yep.
As your main star. And is it Alexander Ludwig?
Yeah.
Right.
From the Vikings and
Hunger Games. Of course, not his best roles. His best role was in Grown Ups 2. So,
yeah, true.
Of course, with a few other supporting characters that we'll see later on as we go through the series, like James Harrison. A few wrestlers make some cameos.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if I would have watched, or I don't know if it would have been so easy for me to start watching this show if it wasn't for Stephen Amell. Because even before he started... dabbling, or before I knew that he dabbled in wrestling, I loved Arrow, one of my favorite shows, until like season 5.
Yeah.
You lost
me after season 1. I didn't stay long after.
Once you kill someone and bring them back to life 2 or 3 times, and then on the third time you're like, nah, let's just let him die this time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure I'll get a voice message from Reggie about that.
Yeah, he'll be like, good brother, you gotta understand the story.
No, I don't know. I don't even know if he's a DC guy. But
he is. I bet you he is. If he's a big, I think he's a big Batman guy, so I feel like he's a big DC.
Fair.
So of course, series premiered on August 15th, 2021, and it was renewed for a second season in November of 2021.
And it allegedly, they got done filming season 2, like, October?
It says here July of 2022.
July. And it was supposed to come out in October. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. So, of course, now, as of April, Stephen Amell said that it'll be coming out in the summer. So, when it's season 2, a lot of some
maybe,
unanswered
maybe
questions.
By the time we get done doing this, we can jump podcast. Right into heels 2.
It'd be like us reviewing all of 08 and 09.
And then deciding, hey, let's do some of 09.
Yeah, I was like, oh, let's just go all the way through it. Oh, man, but let's get right into it. Man, we are here in Duffy, Georgia.
Not a real place.
Not a real place whatsoever. No, no, no. It introduces us to the siblings of the family-owned Duffy Wrestling League.
Not a real
league. What do you think of the indie name? Duffy Wrestling League.
I mean, the acronym, DWL, sounds cool.
It's not bad, yeah.
How about SWL, Spade Wrestling League?
Or just do Duffy Championship Wrestling. Like, I feel like Championship
DC
Wrestling
DC, yeah,
does okay with it. So, but we get to see the heart of family-owned Duffy Wrestling League in establishing the dysfunctional relationship between siblings Jack Spade, which is, of course, Stephen Amell, and his brother Ace, who is his younger brother, who is looking to potentially leave DWO for greener pastures.
Less brown pastures.
Less brown pastures.
That's what Willie said.
Yeah.
She said, you don't keep your stars happy. They're going to leave for greener, less browner pastures.
By the way, I love the actor that plays Willie. Mary McCormick. Awesome.
She's very good. I feel like I know 30 people like her around where we live. Matter of fact, everybody in this show, I feel like I know
everybody's mom. Yeah, it's very, they really nailed kind of the small town aspect of it for sure. But of course, we open it up with Jack pounding away at a keyboard with pretty much writing a script for his match. This doesn't happen. Some people write out their matches, I do know. Like DDP's synonymous for writing out his entire match.
All the indies I've been to, that everybody puts together their match before the show without writing anything down.
Yeah, but if you're the booker. Well, you think old Tricky Ricky's putting together a script?
Yeah, I mean, he has a piece of paper that show what order the matches are napkin. In. No, it's not. No, I've only been to two indies, but I've never seen a script.
You've been to three.
I meant, like, been a part
of. Oh, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. Well, he's pounding away at a keyboard writing the script for the match. Jack's wife, Stacy, played by Allison Luff. What do you think of his wife? I thought his wife was a good character.
Very good character. Very good musician.
Yeah.
She great singing voice, and she is very kind to the eye.
Such a PG way of saying she was hot.
She is hot. I don't know.
Just... But, of course, Jack's wife, Stacy, roots on him while his youngest son, Thomas, remains silent.
Mm. Is that what the website says?
What the website says, that Thomas remained silent. I don't remember.
Yeah, he didn't have any lines, brother. He wasn't over.
Thomas is more into the good guys than his dad, who is the villain of DWS. That may be why he was silent. Well, obviously he had no lines, but maybe that's why in story-wise. Like, oh, he's silent because his dad's a bad guy.
But,
well, you gotta think, but to be fair, we do see later on in the show, Thomas, like, loves Uncle Ace.
Fair, but he also later in the season, spoilers, Thomas pretty much helps his dad with a sales pitch about Duffy.
Yeah, yeah. So, who knows?
Like, my dad's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
And like,
he knows, I think.
He's in the know.
Yeah, well, but does Stacy root on him? Oh, yeah, Stacy does. Because it's shown, like, early that she's cheering him on while everybody else is booing.
Which, what a mark, by the way.
What a mark. Yeah, way to just kill the business. After some brutal action in the ring, Jack emerges victorious and rewarded with a chorus of boos. Definitely some top guy energy coming from old Jack Spade in terms of being a heel, you know?
Yeah.
Grabs the mic, slams Duffy and its citizens, regrets that this is his hometown, struts around the ring with a big gold-esque looking title.
It did resemble Big Gold a bit. Big Bronze is what I would call it.
Big Copper. But I loved how it looked like, you know those Undisputed belts that are like 180 bucks that all football teams get where the main plate looks the same as the side plates?
Yes.
That's what it was. Like just Big Gold, Big Gold, Big Gold. And it looked cool. I mean, it looked fine. A little more creativity, I think, on the belt would be nice. So... but to be fair, that's very much indie. There are indies around us that use those belts.
And if he's carrying on his dad's legacy, he wants to keep the same belt, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. He's very much all about tradition.
How do you feel about Stephen Amell's southern accent?
Better than Alexander Ludwig. Man, come on, man. I'll be babyface.
It's like us doing an impersonation of someone southern. That's his southern accent. CM Punk's is worse.
Yeah.
Punk's is worse.
Stephen Mills isn't bad. It's a little like kind of rough sounding in terms of it's gruff. It's like more like gravelly, so it doesn't sound as bad.
Oh no, he's like Duffy is like the fake town is like it's very close to North Florida.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that'd be. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where Duffy would exactly be on our fictional map.
Would it be Savannah? Or
maybe no, Savannah's east.
That's true.
I don't know. What Welcome to the Geography Podcast. But we don't know crap. But I didn't mind it. I thought most southern accents in the show didn't sound horrible.
Not bad.
So, of course.
By the way, just because it's in a southern town doesn't mean they all have to have.
But I think the southern accents. What do you mean? Everybody that just moves to Georgia is like, oh, yeah, what's going on, brother? But to be fair, I think they're trying to put over that most of them are from Duffy.
Fair, because it's like a hometown. It's a
yeah. I think the only ones who don't have accents is maybe Big Jim doesn't really have much of a southern accent, right?
He has a real accent. I think his is real.
And then James Harrison I don't think has a southern accent. Like,
what about Bobby?
Bobby, there's a little twine there.
Yeah.
But it's like the stupid southern. It's not like intelligent.
Right.
It's just like, hey, you mean to tell me I got to referee a match? It almost sounds like Goofy. So, of course, he clutches the title, really grandstanding with his heel character. And then, of course, they roar in approval as Ace enters the ring. With his high spots gear. Delivers a kick to his brother's head before tossing him over the ropes. He soaks up the cheers, shows some insults at his brother. He challenges his big brother to a match. Jack announces they'll fight for the belt in a week. As Jack walks off, Ace keeps the crowd pumped with an FU.
Yep.
In a literal mind drop.
So which pisses Willie off, by the way.
It does.
Because they keep breaking those mics.
That's right. Those mics are expensive. I mean...
Which, by the way, the production value of this show is...
That's the next scene. So, they go backstage. The wrestlers unwind and celebrate. There's beers. There's hanging out. They have an actual gorilla position.
Yeah.
They got monitors. They got headsets. Like, I haven't personally worked at an indie. I've only went to
the only indie I've worked at that's like that is an indie that's... on local TV, so you kind of have to have that.
Yeah. But Duffy's not. They're on YouTube.
Barely. If they had guys that would edit and upload, my God, they would be awesome.
Yeah, so they celebrate. Willie, which is the managing producer and the voice of reason, asks Jack to remind Ace to stop breaking the mics. Jack's more upset about the fact that Ace cussed on stage, reminding his brother that kids are in the audience. Even as the chance of Ace ringing out in the background, Jack tries unsuccessfully to reel in his sibling. So, a little dissension there.
I think my favorite line from that scene was, are you mad that I said the F word? Yeah, we have kids that come to our show. Yeah, kids that come to see me!
Like, he's so whiny.
I swear.
Are you wanting us to cheer the guy? He just whines all the time. Like, come on, man, I'm the star!
No, we'll probably talk about it later, but the name of the show, Heels, is very fitting, because they all have their issues.
It's like everybody's a horrible person.
It's kind of like The Last Man on Earth for second season. Yeah. It's like, dang, nobody on this show is a good person.
Yeah. In the days that follow, Jack's morning run takes him past an old dilapidated boat. Just kidding. Billboard promoting the DWL's glory days back when his dad, Tom King Spade, scored off against Wild Bill Hancock.
In a ladder match.
Remember that name for later. His own son has a poster of Jack's dad along with an autographed photo of Ace in his room, while anything promoting Jack is absent. Maybe because he's a heel?
Potentially. Well, he
hates his dad.
Jack doesn't sign stuff, right?
He doesn't, no. He doesn't even, show his face in church much. which is crazy. A week's passed since Ace did on the gauntlet and tickets for the event are sold out, yet Jack still hasn't written his script. So,
Brother, just put it together 30 just minutes before the
especially,
match.
Especially if you know you're winning.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, there's no contemplate. You know you're putting yourself over.
I don't think he knew for sure he was putting himself over until the incident that happened the day of the match.
That is true.
I think that was what made him go for sure. Yeah, I'm going over.
So Jack hasn't written the script. Stacy interrupts his thought to ask him to attend church. And to chastise him over the purchase of 4 fog machines.
Which, granted, she did make a good point. She said, I could have found those same 4 fog machines for half the price.
Yeah.
Gotta consult a woman with stuff like that.
Yeah, but I gotta compete with the guys up north. Mind you, when he says up north, he's talking about their version of WWE.
Which, you're not gonna compete with them.
No, if they're treated as if it's WWE that we know.
Now, if he said, I'm trying to compete with the guys in North Florida.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, which... TNA?
It's
kind of what they put it over as.
Yeah, well, they use TNA footage in some of their...
it's just Abyss and Samoa Joe in a, Monsters Ball match.
So she mentioned she could have shopped around for a better deal. Jack blames his dad for buying that equipment in the first place. And also admits she's right. Hey, don't blame your dad. He can't defend himself. Stacy's the family's financial planner and likes to balance the budget. She wonders if she'd go back to work, but Jack's against that idea and reminds her that his mom never had a job because, Jack's in the 1960s. Apparently, women can't work.
That's what I'm saying. I know people like that, and I'm just like, dude, in the future, if my wife wants to work, I'm going to let her.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah, you just stay away from, the ones who want to be stay-at-home parents.
yeah.
I want to be a stay-at-home mom and homeschool my kids. No, okay. No, not at all. I want my kids to be normal.
That's
So Jack's unsure of how the match should end, and Stacy assures him that it should end with him winning.
No, that's not what she said.
No?
He said, "Hey, I haven't finished the script. Who should win?" She said, "Us." I'm like, come on, man.
I mean, but to be fair, that means Jack winning. I mean, right?
Yeah, but she meant like in life. Like she was she was 100% not talking about wrestling.
Participation. Like, we just get to win the game of life. Well, winning the game of life means probably having money, and you're not gonna have money if Jack wins. So, anyways, moving on to Ace. We haven't seen him in a little bit. After peeing on a tree outside the church.
Yep.
Ace joins the congregation as Stacy's playing the guitar and singing. After the sermon's over, Jack and Ace's mom, Carol, warns Ace to be good to his brother in the ring. The world needs love right now, says Carol. Ace reminds her Jack writes the scripts.
Fair enough. By the way, when he was peeing on the tree, it was Crystal and Big Jim sitting in the truck, and she's like, "Why doesn't he just go to the bathroom?" He's like, "What can I say? He's a showman." And then he throws a beer bottle while he's peeing on the tree, and then Big Jim says, "Dude, you just pissed on God's property." And I'm just like,
and also they have a little potluck after church, and
yeah.
Jack's just sitting in the car, like they're really keeping up cab fab over
which
here,
even but. At small church, I feel like that just doesn't happen much anymore.
To my potlucks?
Yeah,
I'm having one tonight.
Oh, cool. All right, fair enough.
Don't come pee in our trees. Just, I won't. What's Wayne doing here? Man, I wanted to win that title.
I will show up in the high spots.
So we kind of see them having a good time there. Of course, Ace gets to hang out with Thomas, but Jack is nowhere to be found. Keeping up kayfabe, he doesn't like people to see him on show day, because he's still a bad guy, and he doesn't want to see him and Ace being all buddy-buddy, which they don't, anyways. Like, it's not like they're buddy-buddy.
They're not friends.
Yeah.
They are just related. That's it.
The other wrestlers prepare for the upcoming sold-out show and make sure the ring's in good shape, warming up. Apocalypse! Our boy James Harrison, former man. Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yep.
Oh, man, he should have wrestled.
Dude.
Monster look. I mean.
And honestly, he should put his money where his mouth is, because after the first season, he was like, it was kind of easy. I'm like, okay, dude, yeah. Do it then. I would love to see it.
It was, I think Jonathan Stewart maybe wrestled a match in TNA. And he was in the NFL. Adam Pacman Jones was in TNA. Like,
yes,
James Harrison should have tried it out.
He recently said it wasn't that hard, so why doesn't he do it? I would love to see him in the ring.
I would too. I'd probably age, dude. He's 43, maybe? A little bit older? I don't know, but he's in great shape. I mean, he's in monster shape.
I mean, I know he didn't do it much, but I mean, he said it was easy.
Yeah.
Might as well give it a shot.
But Apocalypse is happy that Jack brought Ace in because he's good for business. Because here's the thing, in wrestling, if the top guy is making money, then everybody's making money, truthfully. So, to an extent, unless you're WCW, have you heard this? I learned this today. So, apparently in WCW, like, Hall, Nash, and all those guys would tell the lower card guys to go ask for raises because they had a clause in their contract saying that they had to be the highest.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, they were like, yeah, go get a raise, Disco Inferno. So, they would have to raise Hall and Nash's contracts.
Genius.
It's fantastic. And we wonder why they ran out of businesses. But, so then we see Rooster Robbins, who, by the way, it's Alan Maldonado? Donado? Whatever?
Something like that. Cool name.
Cool name.
Cool gimmick, too.
Good actor. I loved this character. I thought he was very funny. I thought he was great. Doesn't think newcomer Ace deserves being the main event.
He plays the perfect indie wrestler with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. Rooster then shows off some of his moves during a practice session with the new guy, Bobby Pin.
Which is such a cool name for wrestling, dude. Bobby Pin.
Is his finish a pin?
Dude, small package. Yep.
There you go. Which is Trey Tucker, who I feel like I've seen Trey Tucker and stuff.
Me too.
He fails to add Turk. Fails to sell, brother. Mm-hmm. That's a big rule break. You don't do that. You know, take a move, you sell it, brother. You know what I'm saying? This is how you learn to become a wrestler. This podcast right here is where you learn it.
Yeah, I'll teach you.
It's worked out for the rest of us. Rooster offers to demonstrate how it's supposed to be done, but Bobby Pins is way over his head and has no idea how to fake a hit, causing Rooster to scream in actual pain after taking an elbow drop.
He dropped a ton on him there.
It was nice looking. From this first episode, How do you feel about Bobby Pins? Do you feel like he's got a chance to be a star, brother?
Yeah. I mean, you'll see him later in his first autograph signing. People love him. Mm-hmm. He's just a charismatic dude. First time in the ring, did a pretty good job. When they were practicing, Rooster was like, "What kind of deep fake video did you send to Jack Spade to get up in this joint?"
I love the one-liners. I feel like the best dialogue was given to Ace and Rooster. Yep. It may not be so much the actual dialogue. I feel like Ace just has great delivery from Alexander Ludwig. He plays it perfectly. Willie then watches a promo of Florida Wrestling Dystopia. Owner Charlie Gulley, played by Mike O'Malley. Do you know where Mike O'Malley's from? Have you seen Mike O'Malley before?
No.
He was, remember Guts on Nick? It was like on Nick Gass or whatever.
Oh, yes, yeah. I have seen him before.
He was the host, yeah. So he was the host. He was also in Glee and a few other things.
I think that's my favorite part of the entire season is once we get into, like,
yeah.
Florida Wrestling Dystopia. Mm-hmm. Like, because you really actually kind of, he might be a good guy.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
might be a decent.
He's a businessman. That's
he's a businessman.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like how WWE always villainizes Eric Bischoff. Like, oh, he was the devil. He was horrible. He was doing the same thing Vince was doing just for the side that lost. Like, everything Vince was doing, Bischoff was all, like, they were doing the same thing. But he announces DWL is dead. Charlie thinks it's time to stick a fork in the DWL. Long live Dystopia. Fun fact, Mike O'Malley is the showrunner for season one and an executive producer. So, good on him. Jack comes out and seeks out Willie's opinion on who should win, and she believes Ace should come out on top because she's a businesswoman.
Mm-hmm. She also said, "Who would your dad have win?" And Jack responded, "Doesn't matter, he's dead."
That's right. Doesn't matter, he's dead. We're going to see so much more of that later on in the season.
In this episode.
In this episode, we're going to see a lot of that. Willie and Jack also discuss FWD, an organization Jack despises. This is the Sunday Night Wars, apparently. Willie points out FWD selling out all over Florida, but Jack believes all they do is stage car crashes.
And while he's not wrong, there's a demo for that. There is an audience for that.
Look at GCW, dude.
Look at GCW.
Even ECW, I mean, when it first got started.
Even a little bit of AEW right now. Yeah. I mean, and what was his point? His point was, Willie said, people stop to look at car crashes, which... True.
Very much.
And then he's like, yeah, but they keep driving away. Well, what are they going to do, Jack? They're going to park, get out, and go take a look?
They're going to park. 65's backed up for miles. Yeah, we parked some car crash today. Oh, man. So Willie's worried about the wrestlers leaving to join Florida Wrestling Dystopia, which has lots more money to spend than EWL.
Yes, they do.
I mean, she's also worried fans will stop coming after the Ace versus Jack fight. So what's left to entice them once that's done? Kind of like a Roman Cody situation.
Very.
Like, Cody wins at Mania. What keeps people invested?
I will say this. Him winning that consolation prize title will not keep me invested.
Fair enough. I still think, me and Reggie talked about it, I still think he should have got drafted to SmackDown.
I do too, because if you want to talk about finishing the story, finishing the story is not winning big gold.
Yeah, it's beating Roman.
It's beating Roman.
Yeah.
Finishing the story winning big gold would be Edge's story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which needs to happen.
It does. It does need to happen. Hopefully it will. Maybe he said on Impulse about a year. So, you know.
You got a year. You can, yeah.
You can do something in a year. Jack's sure that the DWL has heat now and wants to upgrade their equipment to keep up with the times. But not upgrade their arena. Because they're in an arena. They're in a dome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool. But you can tell it's run down. I think.
There's a leak.
Yeah, I compared it to the Sportatorium in Dallas where World Class ran their shows in the 80s.
Yes.
Very rundown. But Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer said, great french fries. Granted, there may have been a rat in the fryer. Great french fries.
Just fair enough.
Fantastic. Before leaving, Willie asked who Jack's dad would have had won. He replies, doesn't matter, he's dead. What a guy. You're making it to where we hate everybody in this show.
Because his dad, once you start seeing the flashback scenes, he 100% would have had Ace go over.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, actually, he didn't really want Ace to wrestle. I keep forgetting that.
But if you put your Booker hat on, you know what I mean? Don't find a literal hat.
All right, it's on.
Thank you. Like, who you put over?
Oh, I put over Ace, 100%.
But here's the thing, though. But same thing that, like, that was kind of mentioned in the notes here. Like, what entices people to stay after if Ace goes over? I mean, because then, like, do you have him running back with Jack?
And I'd do a few with Rooster. Because Rooster's hell over.
Rooster's over. Throw Bobby Penn in there. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Over. Apocalypse. My boy Apocalypse needs to be the top guy, mm-hmm. personally. I mean, so the wrestlers offer up some advice to Bobby Penn leading up to the night's matches. Apocalypse explains their job is to make the crowd either love them or love hating them. Diego, which is Robbie Ramos, explains how he got a start, revealing he was initially the Venice Menace. Fans didn't embrace that, so King Spade rebranded him as the Mexican luchador Diego Cottonmouth. What a name.
Yep.
Before the crowd arrives, the wrestlers gather in the ring to learn who they're wrestling that night. Big Jim! I love Big Jim. He's like legit one of my favorite characters.
Mm-hmm.
What a big guy. Gets a round of applause when Jack says he'll be the star that evening. Jack comes up with an ending for the main event and announces Ace will be going down via pinfall.
Mm. I just love how subtle it was when he announced it. Main event, me versus Ace. Ace going down via pinfall. And then just silence and everybody looking like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah. Jack's leaving when Ace confronts him, demanding to know why he has to lose. Jack believes they need to do this in order to keep the fans interested. If you beat me tonight, then what do we do? If they see their hero lose to the villain and they need to watch their hero fight his way up top, that's something. That's an angle.
It is. But you do have to do something different, you know? You can't just do the same match.
And to be fair, do we know? I mean, is Ace better chasing the belt? We don't. He's never held it, so we don't know if he's better holding the belt or not.
Yeah, I...
You know what I mean? Is he better chasing the belt? You know, if you look at guys like Hangman's a better chaser. Moxley's a better chaser.
I don't know. I kind of like Mox as champion.
I like people
chasing after Mox because you never really know if Mox is going to lose or not.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Brian is an incredible chaser. He's also a good champion, too. Mm-hmm. Put that out there. Kofi was a great chaser. Decent champion. Yeah.
Worried about Cody. A little bit. Depends on when he wins the belt. I feel like Cody's really good at chasing. But I think when he wins the belt, depending on what that first feud, like, tell me what that,
I feel like as a babyface. And they did this a lot with Edge and Taker and Orton back in the day. Dude, in that feud, like, even after, like, say the babyface has won their big one at Mania, dude, a couple months, have them lose the title again and win it back. That's how you keep a good angle going with it. Yeah. Like, that, because if the babyface keeps beating the heel in the entire feud, I mean, then the heel loses credibility.
Yeah. Well, you look at Austin's first reign. Do you remember how long Austin held the belt? Not, like, maybe till, like, September. He won it in March. Didn't hold it very long.
And didn't Orton and Drew do something similar? Didn't Orton beat Drew, I think, at Hell in a Cell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Drew had held the belt since Mania.
And then Drew beats him for it again at Clash? Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't very long.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just something to keep him interested. Just right. To change things
and
up.
And it worked.
Yeah, and it worked out very well for Drew. I mean, if it's
you
a
just can't
there,
do that with Roman right now.
You can't. No, no, no.
Now, with this new title...
that Cody
just real quick 5 minutes or so I want to talk about that.
Sure, let's go for it.
So the way Triple H presented it almost made it feel like a second place trophy, a consolation prize. Yeah. Which I mean, it happens. Seth Rollins really brought it home when he got out there and really made it sound like, you know, he said this isn't about politic and in part timing. Sort of a cheap pop with the part time thing,
but they're putting it over as if Roman's. So, like, they almost treat him as if, like, he's the he's one backstage. I should probably go over, brother. Like, but real Hogan-esque.
I mean, that's not a bad way to put him over on TV. I don't think that's bad. He's already heel. Why not put him over like that?
Yeah, I guess because we can't just flat out say he's over. Like, that's
and so I remember enough. After Mania in the media thing, he said, I'm begging somebody to come beat me. He said, I'm begging someone to come take my place on the Island of Relevancy. He said, please, come do it, if you can. And yeah. I'm like, he's got a point.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, man.
But Cody, this new title, mm-hmm. I think you do Cody, the wrestlers, the talent, and every fan a huge disservice if Cody is the first person to win this belt.
If you do a tournament. Which I don't know how they're going to crown the champion. I don't know if they're just going to announce two guys wrestling.
I don't even want Cody in the tournament.
I want Cody in the tournament because I want Cody to lose.
That doesn't help his story, though.
I mean...
Or maybe he loses sight on the real story that he needs to finish and goes after this one and realizes it's not right.
Yeah.
I think Seth needs to be the first guy to hold this title. And I really think they should try new stuff with this title. I'm not saying hot potato the belt by any means, but I don't want one person to hold it for a year.
No, we have that with Roman. He's about to go on.
This is a title you can try stuff with. You know, put the belt on Dominic Mysterio for a couple months, see what happens.
That'd be fun.
That would be very fun.
Yeah. Are they on Raw?
I almost shook my head. Yes,
because I don't know how the draft's shaking out. I know Bianca's on SmackDown, which would make you think.
Are they gonna do that title trade thing again?
No, the rumor is that they're gonna make brand new belts for everybody.
Cool. I think it's needed.
So the tag titles, apparently Triple H is gonna rename them to the World Tag Titles and the WWE Tag Titles, like they were in the past.
Thank you. Thanks, Hunter.
They haven't specified women's titles. Now, hear me out for the women's titles. You have a women's championship and a women's universal championship.
There you go.
Because that's the only way to me. It's like, it'd be the women's title or the divas title. Like, if we've already had that and that was horrible.
Dude, hear me out. I think all the women should be eligible for the title. Because it's the women's title. Just an idea.
It is an idea. Same with like the women's tag belts. Like, dude, I think those are staying around because they've called some teams up.
Yeah, which they called the NXT Women's Champions.
Indy Hartwell's up, yeah. And the Women's Tag Champions, which is Alba Fire and Isla Dawn.
Yes.
They also got called up, which I thought was interesting.
As long as you create more women's tag teams and have actual stories behind those teams and why they're together.
Which so far they've done pretty well with it. I mean, you have Raquel and Liv. You have even Chelsea Green and Sonya, who I thought's been a really good team. You can also throw in, obviously, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Damage Control. I really thought Caden Carter and Katana Chance would have been called up. I feel like, because to me, if it were me, I would get rid of my NXT women's tag titles and my women's tag belts are all three brands. And hey, you can travel to each brand, defend them however you want and do stuff like that. I don't know if there's a logistics thing behind that or not, but whatever is what it is. So this is what's cool. But yeah, apparently it's the rumor. All the belts are getting redesigned and we'll have new names. I don't know how long that'll take. I don't know if that'll be something that will all happen like boom, boom, boom as we're getting the draft process done. But maybe not. Who knows? Because you got to think. Backlash is coming up. There is some title defenses at Backlash. So maybe there's some title changes there to maybe help counteract that. So there's no telling, I should say.
Anyways,
back to heels. Crystal Tyler, played by Kelly Birdland, Ace's valet, reads the script out loud, and Ace learns he'll go down after showboating for the crowd. Ace hates Jack's script and thinks he'd come up with something better. Crystal, however, believes losing to be the best way to win over the crowd. That vulnerability from a heartbreaking loss can be an asset.
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong. Well, to be fair, in this sense, they're treating it as if Ace is probably undefeated and hasn't lost since being the top guy. Sounds kind of like Cody. I mean, since Cody's been back, has Cody lost a match until Roman?
I don't think so.
Ace and Crystal decided a little naked pre-match activity is needed.
Sex, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I personally wouldn't know. Is the way to prepare for the main event. Then Wild Bill, our boy, decides to come into an unexpected appearance in the locker room, reliving the glory days as the heel opposite Tom King Spade. Those matches that made his career. Oh, let's put it together. Hold on, hear me out. So, King Spade was a face, right? And when Willie asked, who would your dad have win? He'd probably have the face win.
Yeah.
Which is him. So maybe Jack's interpreting as Jack needs to win because dad always put himself over.
Boom.
Maybe not. But I always thought for some reason that King Spade was heel, but I don't know why. Wild Bill and Jack have a one-on-one, and Wild Bill reveals that he's there to scout Ace. Does Wild Bill remind you of anybody that worked at WWE?
Michael Hayes.
Good old Freebird, who announced the draft pick on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Looking like Wild Bill. Or Uncle Howdy. People compared him to Uncle Howdy.
So my favorite thing recently from Michael Hayes is when that guy jumped the barrier and attacked Seth Rollins. And there's a picture of Hayes peeking behind Gorilla, just decked out in whatever the hell he wears. And he just had the look of death in his eyes. Like, I love that, man.
Hayes is ready to throw down, dude. Yeah. I love Freebird so much. Have you heard his music?
No.
I'll show you after. Okay. but he's there to scout Ace from up north. The suits up north thinks Ace has what it takes to succeed, but Jack's skeptical that Ace is ready. Wild Bill can offer Ace the good life, something the DWL will never be able to do. Well, he's right. TWL's a indie.
So, devil's advocate. He's like, I don't think he's ready. Who cares? Let him go make some money for a minute and come back.
He's going to developmental. Like,
he's going to developmental. Dude, let him make a living off of wrestling for a little bit. If it doesn't work, he comes back a bigger star. Yeah. If it works, good for him.
You think it's a little bit of Jack being selfish? Like, hey, I don't want you to pull my moneymaker away. Like,
and jealousy.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, just Jack's not going up north. I mean, good worker. I mean, solid, clearly, you know, solid worker.
Maybe back in the OVW days, you know?
Maybe so. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Jack firmly believes that the stories they tell in the ring will pull in crowds and reminds Wild Bill that he's no better than the folks in Duffy just because he has wealth and the folks in Duffy, or he has wealth and fame. So he slams the DWL as nothing more than a community theater. I mean, fair enough.
Yeah.
He thinks the best thing Ace can do is leave the DWL in the rear view mirror. These words are hard, man. After a while, Bill leaves to meet with Ace. Jack returns to his laptop in the evening script. Buddy, you're at the arena and you haven't wrote out anything. Like, you know who's winning, but you haven't wrote anything out? How dare you?
Which, by the way, if Ace was a little bit more mature, you could have go ahead and told him you're losing. Let's talk about some stuff we might want to do.
Yeah.
Throughout the week, just kind of bounce out ideas off each other. Yeah. And then before the match, put it all together and go out there.
Yeah, what Booker tells you flat out, like, I mean, obviously, Booker will tell you, hey, you're losing. Here's how, you know, they'll probably at least tell you the finish to a certain extent, like, hey, you got to lose by pinfall. I'm sure, I'm not, you know, I would assume maybe that'd be a lot easier, in my opinion.
So, this is interesting.
All yeah. Right.
When I was working ring crew and training a little bit with New Era, it might just not have, like, been me paying attention, or me not paying attention, but I don't remember him announcing winners and losers. I just remember him, like, giving times.
I feel like Funky would have to announce you. I mean, if you're trying to put a story, if you're trying to put stuff together, maybe.
I probably zoned out, which is bad.
Fair enough.
which is bad that I did that, but I mean. Yeah. But I don't know, I don't know.
I mean, fair. I mean, it. I understand maybe, hey, you got to lose by pinfall. Like, I get, because I'm sure WWE probably does that. Like, hey, lose by pin, then get rearranged it, figure out the match. But it sounds like
they should have done. They kind of do, but they should have done a DQ finish or something. That's what they should have done.
Yeah, do a dusty finish.
Because by the way. Because at some point, spoilers, they decide they want Ace to win tonight. And then, with that, okay, a babyface in his first title match, challenging wins? No, I don't want, no.
No.
No. You got to have, you know, DQ finish, messy finish, something like that. Yeah. And then, eventually, build it up for him to win. Not just, hey, you got a match. Oh, hey, you're champion. No.
Yeah. Ace has Crystal and Big Jim in his corner as he attempts to get Jack to flip the script and allow him to emerge victorious. By the way, that whole little scene where he's in the ring, like, calling out stuff. Man, I go on the top rope, and I just backflip off and put pitty bam, and then I win 1, 2, 3, yah! Crowd goes fanatic.
Hold up. Do they have all what Ace says on that website?
No.
Oh, I was gonna see how much I can remember. Backflip off, you catch me, slam me down, but you don't pin me this yet. Yeah. He's like, boom, super kick. Boom, another super kick. Then I get you back up, and then we look at each other, and we smile, because we're brothers, and boom, super kick.
Not a horrible suggestion. How he suggested it sucked. Well, it's not a horrible suggestion. I mean, truthfully.
I don't like it when people are pitching ideas and with their tone try to convince you that this will work.
Like, hey, come on, man. It's like us. Like,
you hit me, but you don't pin me just yet because. I'm like, okay. Just.
It's like us when we put together matches that no one would see. Like, hey, right, push me off a ladder. All right, through the table. All right, you pin me, but. Ron comes in, curb stomps.
No, I go to hit, I don't pin you just yet. I go to hit you with the chair, and then I decide not to.
We are just Ace and Jack Spade. That's what we figured out. We just learned that. That's why we need to own a promotion.
Cal.
Montevallo Wrestling League. Cal, I forgot about Cal.
I haven't.
Oh, man, that's coming. So, of course, but after Ace confirms he's leaving once he wins, Jack says the match will end as he originally planned. So, after Ace storms off, Jack assures Willie they'll be okay as long as he and Big Jim are around. Willie realizes even Jack isn't convinced that's true, which I wouldn't be. I mean, again, my top guy's leaving, so not great. And I don't think, doesn't Big Jim go away? later
in the episode, I'm pretty sure.
Does he leave in the episode? I can't remember. I'll have to read now. Jack continues to work on the script as Ace meets alone with Wild Bill. He then explains Ace will need to really work the crowd tonight. That's what the suits are interested in. Jack will, of course, stick to the script, but no one cares about that. Wrestlers have to be adaptable now, according to Wild Bill. He thinks he should improvise and land a few real punches.
Did you skip the part where Ace called the girl fat?
I did. It's not in here for some reason. I was about to say,
because that's like part of the reason why Jack decided not to let him go over at all.
So give us a little breakdown. So they're in the store.
They're in the store shopping around. Ace is complaining, "Y'all, I'm in the main event tonight, and I'm only getting paid $50, brother. $50 in indie wrestling is good. I don't care.
Pretty solid."
And then he says, "You know what? When I win the title, I'm gonna start negotiating 100." And then Big Jim goes, "Do you even know for sure if you're winning?" And then Ace is talking to Helen at the cash register, and if you're not looking for it, you can't see it. But if you watch his hands, he grabs some double mint.
That's right. Cause if I'm gonna steal a gum, it's gonna be 98-cent double mint. Dude, get out of there! I'm getting some extra or some five.
I'm getting the big plastic.
Oh, yeah.
Five gum for sure. Yeah. I'm going to wear a hoodie and put it in. Yeah.
That's right. Have you stole gum before? And then call the cashier fat? Like,
so he grabs a gum, puts it in the pocket, and I don't know how the hell she saw it because she was not looking at his hands. And she said, "Put the gum back, Ace." I'm like, damn.
Maybe he's done it before.
He has. She said.
He's a double mint thief.
She said, "You steal every time you come in here. The only reason I haven't called the cops is because your daddy was good to me." Ace. Ace puts the gum back, starts walking out, stops, turns around. "Hey, you know what, Helen?" Right when he said that, I'm like, oh god. He's like, "You remember when you used to come over to our house for dinner and I used to have to sit there and listen to you talk and eat? You shoveling casserole. I thought for sure you'd pop." And then he said, "Remember when your dog ran away?" And I'm just like, oh god. He said, "You know what happened when I told Mr. Tom that?" He said, "Probably for the best. That Cooper girl would have ate it anyways." And he said, "Damn, did we laugh." Then he stole the gum anyways as she is crying.
Jeez, what a guy.
Dude, I love how Big Jim's sitting there going, "Ace, come on." Yeah. Like, as he got further into the
sport. Put the belt on Big Jim, dude. Like, he doesn't do anything. He's a little neutral.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, whether you have good or bad self-control, I just don't feel like it would be that hard to avoid calling someone fat in public.
Or avoid stealing double mint. Like, I mean.
Or you get caught stealing and decide to make it that person's worst day.
Yeah. And still steal.
Like, yeah.
But
then again, are you gonna call the cop and say this, like crying, "This guy just stole government and called me fat"? Like,
and Duffy, they're to beat the crap out of Ace.
They're gonna shoot him.
He's gonna get 6 warning shots. In the hours leading up to the match, Jack approaches Big Jim with his idea for a twist the audience won't see coming.
We climbed up a water tower to go give him the, go pitch this to him. They both could have died.
He wants Big Jim to enter the match and beat up Ace after Jack goes down. Jack will come too, see what happened, and then we'll defend his brother. It's a win-win. Jack can become face, Big Jim can transition to a role of the heel, and Ace can take off for the big leagues. I mean,
I like how adaptable Jack was in that situation, knowing that potentially his brother could be gone forever. And
yeah.
So he came up with a really quick, good plan.
Yeah.
Like, for the league.
Yeah. Sounds perfect, but Big Jim refuses to become heel. He doesn't want to get booed.
Mm-hmm. I love how he says, I don't want people booing me, man.
I mean, fair. Like, it's, like, I
everybody views it differently.
Yeah. I mean, like, me personally, like, even though I always talk about, like, I would love to be a heel, like, if I was ever get a chance to wrestle, I want to be a heel. Like, that's so much fun, to be a heel and be hated, right? But I think, like, the actual, like, the real person in me doesn't want to be booed. And it's mainly because, like, I don't know, I like being liked. I love people to like me, you know? I want people to be so afraid of how much they love me. Like,
shut up.
But, yeah, so he refuses, doesn't want to get booed, and then he throws out his own twist in tonight's match, or tonight's plans. He's going to retire.
Mm. Which, by the way, you're losing two of your top guys.
Yeah, your top faces, dude. Like, yeah. He wants to be there for the birth of his baby and needs more shifts at work. Big Jim loves wrestling, but his wife thinks it's too dangerous. He agrees to turn heel, but given that he's retiring, Jack decides to not go that route. Fair enough. Before the match, Ace tries one final time to convince Jack to let him win. He promises after he makes it big, he'll come back and help out, but Jack knows that would never happen.
I wouldn't believe that either. Come on now.
They argue over who's against who, and Ace finally lays it on the line. He wants the belt and believes he deserves it. Jack points out he's the one putting in all the work to keep DWL alive, and Ace fights back by reminding his brother that he refuses to let anyone else handle the
responsibility. Because you don't let anybody else work, Jack! Come on! This is so you! Is this because your kids smiled at me in church this morning?
Is this the scene where they grab each other by the throat?
No.
No? Okay.
Not yet.
Not yet. So seconds before Jack enters the ring, Stacy asked him what he's decided about the finish. He said, "Don't matter. It ain't real." Really?
But it does matter.
It matters
on if people are going to show up next week.
Big Jim basks in the love of the crowd for what no one other than Jack knows is his final match. He exits the ring and makes way for the main event of the evening. So, Jack enters first to a round of boos. Before this, they like have a heated, intense little stare down.
So Jack is standing at the curtain waiting to go. Ace stands beside him, says, "F the belt." He said, "I already won." He said, "I get to wrestle the match of my life tonight and go off and make it big." He said, "You get to stay here for the rest of your life till you end up killing yourself like Dad." And then, very choreographed throat grab.
Very choreographed. I whisper in the ear, "Go for the throat grab." And then, of course, Jack enters the ring to a round of boos, followed by a chant in support of Ace. Ace gets to work the crowd before facing his brother, who's holding the belt. When Ace turns his back, Jack attacks and takes Ace to the mat. The ref quietly warns Jack to stop hurting Ace, but he doesn't let up. Instead, he is forced to tap out less than a minute into the match. It's a shoot armbar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Duffy screw job.
The Duffy screw job, man. One of the most famous screw jobs. The crowd goes silent as Ace grunts in pain in the ring.
It was so quiet.
Yeah. Like,
Nobody was even talking amongst themselves. It was just... All you hear was,
would you be in that much shock if Ace didn't win the belt? You're just there like, huh?
I'd be playing along. I'd be up yelling, "Oh, that boo," you know, like just having fun. I wouldn't be like, "Huh? Oh, no."
But it's real to them.
Right. Fair enough.
It ain't real to Jack.
No.
Okay. Crowd goes silent as Ace is grunting in pain. He's finally able to stand up and punches Jack in the face, causing Jack to tumble out of the ring.
He hit his head on the apron. Yeah.
The crowd then turns on Ace and tosses his popcorn into the ring. And
I don't understand why they turned on Ace.
Is it because, I mean, you look at this guy who's been put over so strong all throughout this build-up to lose in a minute. I mean, would that be like your favorite team being hyped up in the office? Like, for example, the Texans. CJ Stroud, right? Will Anderson, you know, good draft, solid draft, you know, and all that. To probably go like 5-12. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's.
Well, I mean, Eagles had such a heavy draft class this year. Their expectations are pretty high. I mean, if they don't at least make the divisional championship,
that's a better example. Yeah.
That's a disappointing season right there.
Ace has never felt hatred from the crowd before and cries in pain and frustration as he continues to hold his injured arm. Trash rains down on Ace, and Jack leaves him in the ring alone. And that's episode one of Heels, brother.
So, I actually, like, in terms of writing, I love the way this episode ends. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're already upset with Jack for most of the episode just because he seems a little uptight, kind of a prick. You're also very upset with Ace. He seems like a complete piece of garbage. I mean, he told some girl, "I'm glad your dog ran away because you would have ate it."
Yeah.
Then, right before they go out, Ace says, "You'll have to stay here for the rest of your life till you end up killing yourself like Dad." Then, Jack goes out there and screws him in front of everybody. Not literally. but...
Literally.
It really, like, it's a big fight. It's like, dang, who is in the right here? Technically, none of them.
Yeah.
But... It does what Ace said, in my opinion, it does what Ace said warrant what happened out there? Or do you think he should have done business as usual and then after the match beat the living hell out of him backstage?
I don't know. I'd wait. I'd just done business as usual and then go about my day backstage and just beat the crap out of them. Like, or at least I don't know about beat
but
the crap.
But then again,
like, have words like, "Hey, like what?"
But then again, okay. So the whole thing for Ace is that I wrestle the match of my life and go to the big leagues. That was Jack's way of saying, "Huh."
But I mean,
I don't know, man. I probably would have reacted pretty bad too.
Yeah, but I mean, like, could you have not been able to be a businessman alone enough to not, like, show your true reaction in front of a crowd? Like, just kind of, like, for example, like, Ace is selling his real injury that he has. If it were you, wouldn't you just sell and just maybe wait, go to the back before you actually get up and punch, like, the heel in the face? Like, it, to me, that's a little more off the cuff for because
it's that still finish. It's still a good story. I mean, he turns his back, he gets a German, and then he locks in the shoot armbar. That's a reasonable. Hey, you know, I shouldn't have turned my back on him. I know what kind of person he is.
It'd be like Rocky IV booking.
Yes, literally.
Or Rocky III. Which one did Moxley mention? About?
Which one did Punk not watch?
Rocky II? One of the ones where Rocky loses then wins. I feel like that's every Rocky movie. So
essentially.
But I mean, you could have just done that. That, I mean, that'd have been cool. That would have had fans invested. I think the reaction, I don't know. I mean, they were booing him before he even punched Jack in the face. Like, they turned on him immediately. I don't think that would actually happen. Truth, no. Like in wrestling, that, I mean,
I think everybody would just be booing. They wouldn't be directing their boos at anybody specifically.
Yeah, or I mean, or were they throwing trash directly at Ace and booing Ace directly, or were they just in general? I don't really remember. I feel like it, like, yeah, if you're in the ring and you have trash and beer being thrown at you and there's boos, yeah, it's gonna be like it's directed at you. But I mean, like, why would you boo your top babyface from losing? Well, I feel like you wouldn't want any sympathy for him because the first one was really hurt. And he lost. Like, you'd be probably upset. I wouldn't be upset enough to turn heel on him. Like, but, I mean, whatever. I mean, it's, sure, if that's what they think happens in wrestling, then by all means. So, first, let's, I have a couple of little breakdowns. So, in terms of wrestling accuracy, how do you feel about the first episode? In terms of accuracy, in terms of the business, kind of how stuff's done.
I'd give it like a 7 or 8 out of 10 in terms
pretty
of
solid
in terms accuracy. Of accuracy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It has a good mixture of like really, really small independent promotion with a mixture of like kind of that tweener that's wanting to make it big.
Right.
But the accuracy was working out pretty well. I mean, throughout the show, I'll give it credit to that. Overall, what do you think of the pilot? This is the pilot. This is what I had to sell people on continuing the show.
I feel like I have to call the pilot like a 10 out of 10 because it hooked me so much to watch the next episode.
Yeah.
And just make me want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Kept me interested.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it. You get to see so many moving pieces. It really gives you a good enough breakdown to where I have to watch the next one. Or flat out, I have to watch all of it now. Because, I mean, granted, I guess if you're watching at home, you don't know how many episodes there are. I think all the people that either have binged it or maybe were, like, keeping up with it. I feel like when they announced it, we were keeping up with it, at least trying to see what was happening.
Oh, I watched it every week when it came
out. That's what I'm saying. Because it was announced in 2019,
yep,
roughly. We were doing the podcast then, so I think we were at least keeping up with it because we were just kind of curious to see what was going on and kind of when it would come out and stuff. And then as it came out, you were watching weekly. I think I may have. I don't think I watched weekly. I think I probably watched it the night after.
You watched it after I did because I had already finished it.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, so it gave you enough to watch the next episode. It gave you enough to like sink your teeth in to figure out okay how like all the stuff they just gave us, you know, with Big Jim retiring and all the storylines with Jack and Ace and adding in, you know, FWD. Like you've given me enough to move on to episode two. Even if all these stories aren't mentioned in episode two, you gave me enough to at least keep watching. So I think they did a really good job of that.
I think episode two brings you in even more.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. It definitely continues to build so it can set up that eventual season finale, which will come in just a few weeks. So it'll, it was really good. It's one of those shows, like, I keep, my best example is The Crew on Netflix, where it's like, oh, it's a situational comedy, and the setting just happens to be NASCAR. Like, it's with this, it's not like, oh, it's a situational drama that just happens to be in a wrestling promotion.
Right.
It's wrestling. It's like, it's a wrestling promotion that is dealing with drama. Like, that's the plot point is wrestling, with the rest of the stuff kind of being the setting and kind of being kind of afterthoughts of it. But it did a really good job. I think the casting choices are really good. I think they get better with guest stars and the people that come in. Like I said, we'll see some cameos. I think we saw some cameos in this one. There was a Battle Royal, right?
Luke Gallows.
Yeah, Doc Gallows got to be in the Battle Royal. We'll see some eventual more, I don't say cameos, we'll see some more roles pop up with some guys. Because
Punk is in a few episodes.
Punk comes in what, season 4? Episode 4, maybe?
Pretty sure it's episode 2.
Is it really episode 2? We'll have to watch it and see, because it's been a year, maybe two, since I've watched the full season, so... So you have some more people come in. Like I said, I think the casting choices for a lot of this is great. I think Stephen Amell playing the older brother works out really well. Alexander Ludwigson really did being the whiny little brother.
Oh God, yeah.
Especially if you like, I think the sibling-esque, like their relationship describes most siblings. Maybe not so much that killing themselves, but I think you can definitely see like the arguing, the bantering, the back and forth. You can kind of
both of them believe they are right.
Yeah, you can relate to that. Like I thought of like my brother. It's like, okay, am I ace then? Does I complain all the time to my older brother? It's whatever. But I should have won. I mean, backflip. You know, you slam me, you don't pin me. So I mean, I can relate to Ace in that aspect. So not bad. I really did first episode, and it only builds from here. So, guys, so any final thoughts on Heels episode 1?
No. Just excited to do the rest of them.
I am very excited. I will say, had my doubts. I'm like 8 weeks. We've done long stuff before.
It's gonna be the second most fun 8 weeks of my life.
First one was that vacation to the Bahamas.
Yeah, that's the kind of money I've got.
But not bad. Next week we get to cover the episode named Dusty Finish.
Yep, and so we will have Ryan back.
Hope should. Should have Ryan back. Ryan, come back. So, cannot wait. Ought to be a fun time. We cannot wait to break it down and continue to move on what's going on in the world of Duffy. You know what I mean? Big things are happening. So, with that being said, hope you guys can join us for the next one. For Wynn and Ryan, who's not here with us, and myself, this has been another wrestling podcast. We'll catch y'all next week with episode 2 of Heels.